For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable.
That's right.
For the record, you ain't trying to grow, then it's done for you.
That's right.
For the record, lab on me going all the way.
All the way.
For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste.
Stop calling.
For the record. For the record. For the. For the record. For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable.
Ah, the clink. Real stories of redemption. How good is it? Story after story just keeps getting better and better. Over 1 million downloads. I am so proud. And thank you to everybody who takes the time to download every episode and listen to these wonderful stories of redemption. Today is no different at all. I have a young man who's successfully doing wonderful things in the community, who has flipped his life completely around. He was, at a very, very young age, addicted to ice. And I think today's insights got a lot of relevance to what society is about today. I'm actually excited to have him on. Darcy Cogdale, welcome to The Clink, Real Stories of Redemption.
Thanks, brother. Thank you. Love what you're doing, brother. It's awesome.
Mate, I love what you're doing. As I said to you earlier, look, to be honest with you, everybody wanted you to come onto The Clink. I didn't even know who you were.
I
took the time to do a little bit of research. I really don't like looking deep into people's stories unless I have to. I love to get them on The Clink and you tell your story to the wonderful guests out there. And we had many, many messages about you. And the good things you're doing and what you do. One guy in particular who I'll leave his name out, but has listened to The Clink since day one, was massively wanting me to get you on The Clink. So, mate, welcome.
It's awesome, man. No, that's good. It's awesome that my message is getting out there. I'm helping a lot of people, man. I'm changing some fucking lives, bro, who are struggling. So I'm just, nothing's going to stop me, brother. It's fucking sweet.
I love your attitude. You've got a sense of humor. If you look on your platforms, you're quite a funny character. You look quite intimidating for the average person. You're covered in tats. You're very, very, very bulked, if I can put it that way. Yeah. Is that the word I use these days for a fucking
jacked.
Gym junkie?
You want to look jacked. I look jacked now. I don't look busted anymore, so I'm happy with that.
I've seen your legs before. They're the size of fucking tree trunks. I thought I had big legs, mate. But you obviously
my fucking jeans, bro. It's shit. But anyway,
you don't miss leg day.
Nah. My best day of the week, brother.
Speaking of the best day of the week, there's been some, earlier in your life. Obviously, there's been some real shit days of the week. And I would love to bring your story to the audience that are listening, and really divulge deep into who you are, because I think it's very relevant of where you were to where you are today. And credit to yourself, because from such a young age, you were basically destined to fail.
Well, yeah, man, I come from a good family. Don't get me wrong. I don't come from a broken home or nothing like that. But I'll go from the start, bro. When I was young in primary school and shit, I was always on the bigger side of life. I was a bit of a tubby kid. You know what I mean? I was a bit overweight and stuff like that, and that sort of affected me through school. Like, in primary school and shit, just never picked for the fucking school. Like, I hated school sports carnivals. I'd always come last. So, swimming carnivals, I never wanted to take my shirt off. Like, it just built up, bro, and I was ashamed all the time, and then I don't want to be at school. You know what I mean? Because I'll go there, and I'm just failing at everything I fucking do. I'll go there. You're not going to win fucking sport. You're not going to go swimming. There's no girls that want to look at you. Okay, you don't want to be picked for anything. So it sort of affected me when I was young, and I'll just pretend to be sick when I'm at home with mum and just mum and dad, and I wouldn't want to go to school because I hated the fucking place, you know, because it was where I went, and I was just made it feel like shit. I hated myself. So, and that sort of ricocheted
Where did you grow up, Dars? What area was it?
Brisbane, Chermside.
Brisbane.
So Chermside, okay. So yeah. So, So that was all through primary school, and that fucked my confidence up, you know what I mean? And then I was going home, and I was eating donuts in the afternoon. Like, I was just going home and eating the nut, like, to fix that void, because that food was where I could be happy, you know what I mean? So I'll just keep eating, and then it all went by. Years go by, then I go on to high school, year eight, you know what I mean? I don't know anyone. You know, I didn't have that many mates in primary school and shit. Like, I go into year eight, and I'm scared, bro. It's just a fucking big jungle of kids.
Yeah.
I'm still there. I'm like eating fucking going in school. Like, I'm comparing myself to everyone else. Like, I'm judging myself. I put myself down. I'm eating lunch by myself. You know what I mean? Like,
Can we just pull up for a second there? And I think this is really, really important about what you're saying. We hear of a lot of women that have confidence issues with their own appearances, you know, and when they look in the mirror, you know, they're either too fat, too thin, small ass, small tits, big ass, whatever it might be. But we rarely hear of a male that actually talks about this. So firstly, I want to say thank you for bringing this up, because there's, I would believe, many listeners out there that could relate to this.
Yeah, well, that's it. If you don't mind, it's fine. If you don't love yourself, you can't, nothing's right. Like, if you don't fucking love who you are, you've been put down when you were younger and shit, you know, it just continued through. So that continued through in the high school, bro. So start of year eight, I'm eating lunch by myself. Like, you know what I mean? Just sitting there fucking like hating everything, you know, and I'm not hanging out with the fucking footy boys. You know, yeah. I'm not playing fucking footy. You know, I'm not going fucking hanging out with the cool kids and touch, like, I didn't even want to go to the tuck shop line. I found my own little space and I just sat there and I just wanted every day to go by, you know, it was just shit. But then I started, the people who didn't judge me, brother, were the ones that were fucking going down for durries at the back oval, you know, the ones that didn't give a fuck, you know, the kids that just fuck the system, you know, the kids that just didn't care. They're just like, oh, fuck yous, you know, I'll do whatever I want. And they're the ones that I fucking clicked with. They're the ones that accepted me because they didn't give a fuck what I look like. I could be myself around them, you know, and it was easy to go do what they were doing. You know, like going down for Darius the Oval, I'm like, oh, I'm involved in a group of people, you know, I'm fucking accepted by people and I fucking loved it. I'm like, yeah, mad, you know, and then I was just slowly smoking Darius year eight, you know, not trying to do it like, yeah, I don't give a fuck either. You know, I don't give a fuck. And then slowly but surely, you know what I mean? Like going wagging down the back oval, then we're going fucking wagging days, like fucking never at school. And then you just start having a bit of fucking weed, bro. You know what I mean? Having a spliff and like, I'm not going to say no. If these cunts bring it out, I'm going to be like, yeah, whatever, man. Yeah. Sweet. I'm a part of your, I'm in your circle now. Sure. You know, I'm accepted. Finally, I'm accepted into something. And I'm like, mad. And I'm not getting judged with how I look or who I am. Like, we're having fun. We're sitting there stone laughing. You know what I mean? It was fun.
Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny though? And if we just take a moment and think about this, the people that seem to be the most judgmental are those that are the most high maintenance, if I can put it that way. Those people that have got to have the look, the style, the trends, they're the ones that look down upon others. And this is this is actually a really valid point that you just made there. The fact that the alternative or those that, you know, that didn't give a fuck, that the kids that I suppose probably came from not the best backgrounds or rebelling or whatever, but they, even in my era and generation, they weren't judgmental. I mean, the only thing they judged you on was if you couldn't pull a couple of cones or you ended up on the ground, you know, ghosted out, vomiting yourself.
Out. Yeah,
because that was me. That was me. The world would spin and they'd stand there laughing because I was that one that just couldn't punch the bongs. But is it you were never judged. It's funny you say that, and I've never looked at it that way, but it's so true.
Well, I know. Well, that's where I was comfortable, bro. Okay, so
yeah,
and then we're getting stoned was fun, you know what I mean? I haven't had fun. I've been fucking sitting at home eating, I've been sitting at home hating myself my whole fucking life.
Yep,
you know, don't get me wrong, I had a great childhood, I've got a great family, don't get me wrong, but I got caught up in being accepted. I didn't have like a close group of mates like this, you know, and I just assumed like, these are now my mates, you know, these are my friends, you know, I've got friends now I fit in. So I'll just every day getting stoned, and then I stopped giving a fuck, you know what I mean? I was like, you're not stoned, like, and then everyone knew me as the, I started getting a name in the school as like, oh, Darcy's the bad kid. You know, he's the one in our grade, he's the one always wagging, you know, I didn't give a fuck. I'd walk down the back oval with a durry in my mouth across the oval, and teachers can watch me, I'd be like, fuck you cunts, you know what I mean? Like, but people are like, oh, fuck, he's a bad cunt, you know what I mean? And I'm just fuck yeah, I'll do what I want when I want. But and then like all my mates that I hang with, like, fuck, you're a fucking mad cunt, you know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, I am. You know, always stoned, always shit, always had buds and that. And then they slowly stopped going to school and then I got invited places to drink on weekends, you know, and then I'll go to drink ups, start of year eight and shit. Like not school discos or school parties with the cool kids. I'm talking just a couple of lads sitting in the backyard getting fucking blind, you know. And I was like, this is fucking awesome. You know, we're having fun. I'm outside of school. I'm not in a environment. I've got friends outside of school.
You're becoming a bit of an adult. You're doing what adults do. I'm a big guy.
I'm 14 and I'm fully grown now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
And then, started to slowly just doing that, drinking, you know, just getting fucked up. And you know, the boys was hanging around and like did a bit of like graffiti and that, like a bit of lads. You know, you meet some lads and then started hanging around with a few other boys that you meet through circles and You go, you piss us, you meet other boys, they're all in the same boat. Like, it's a little community, bro.
Yeah.
Esche, you know, Esche life, lad life. Okay? And then you'll meet these coaches and one of my...
Don't get me started on the Esche life, bro.
Oh, Nike TNs, bro. You know? But I loved it, you know? Then I got my first Nautica polo and I rocked in. I'm like, hey, boys, like, everyone's wearing them and I'm fucking a part of this crew.
Yeah.
You know? And then I met, like, time goes on, started just fucking up in school. I was never at school, you know, fucking suspended. Ended up getting expelled from, like, I got expelled from three schools. So first one, I was there till, like, end of year nine, you know, but then I was getting on the drinks every weekend, getting on the drugs every weekend. And then expelled from that school. Then it lasted a week at the next school, expelled. I lasted a day at the next school, got expelled, okay? But then the thing is, when I was going out on the weekends, I'm like, I don't need to go to fucking school, bro. Fuck school, you know what I mean? I'm going to fucking go hang out with fucking cool cunts, you know? And these cunts didn't go to school. They were older. So one of my good mates, he had older brothers, you know? Full jailbirds, in and out of jail. These boys are like in their late 20s, you know?
Were you doing a bit of 30s. Bizzo as well at the same time? So there was
That came down. That comes along the track.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So this is just me being a little crim. You know, I was fitting in with all these old school crims, and you know, they're all fucking doing fucking stealing shit and fucking racking shit and started graffitiing, and I'd be I'll be at home at this point. So I'd sneak out at the middle of the night, you know what I mean? Because I started graffitiing and shit here and there. Like when your tag gets up, people notice your tag and then like, oh, I've seen you around, you know what I mean? And I'm like, cunt, I'm going to be the most seen fucking person in Brisbane. You know what I mean?
So I'm going to see my whole cars running end to end. Panels left, right, and center.
I was tagging fucking anything. I like bust up, I was all over. Okay? But then I started getting involved with these older boys. And then, you know, as you're just hanging around them, you want to do what they do. And then, like, we're drinking and shit. And they come out and they're just fucking cooked. You know what I mean? They're fried. I'm like, what are those cunts? Like, we're all drunk and fucking drunk as fuck. How come they're not drunk? And then one of the older brothers pulled me in the room and he's just like, fucking have some of this, you know? And I'm just like, what the fuck's that? You know, got a little baggie and it's like old school speed, bro. Like, ice, like GAC.
No,
like,
gas.
That shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that would blow your fucking dick off, brother. That's not like ice and shit these days. I started on fucking GAC, bro. That was like, first time I licked that spoon, bro, I was like, oh, God. And then, bro, I was awake for like 3 days, bro. Awake for three days, cooked. And I'll get into everything, like I'll be so in, like we'll just sit in a room and we'll chat there for like fucking 24 hours. Sun comes up, we're still talking, like, what the fuck, what happened last night? But it was, and then we'd be drawing, I'll get into my drawing, we'd have big D&Ms, and I'm like, oh, this is better than drinking, better than being stoned, bro. I'm fucking feeling amazing, you know what I mean? Like, I enjoyed being fucking scattered and shit, I loved it. You know, this is when I'm like 14, bro. You know, so then I started doing what they were doing. The more I'd sneak out at home during the week. I'm not at school, okay? Like, I'm fucking never at school. I'd sneak out middle of the week. I'll go painting at night, sneaking out. I'll go fucking breaking into cars at night with a mate of mine, you know, doing crib shit. You know, I didn't need to do it. I just wanted to be a part of their crew, part of what they do. Yeah. You know, I'll be breaking
in. That was what went.
Yeah, bro. So I wanted to fit in, just like I wanted to fit in at the start when I was in school because I wanted to fit in and get friends. The same thing. I wanted attention from this next thing. This is the next level.
Did you also too have that sort of mindset? Like, I know with me growing up on the streets and very similar to what you're saying, you know, I got to a point where I, you know, had, like, I was walking out of school and having to walk into a circle, you know, and they'd push two of their main kids in there and I'd have to fight them at the front of the school or down the street.
Oh, yeah.
I got to the point where I just thought, I'm going to be the biggest, baddest motherfucker that no one fucks with, that everyone wants to be around and respect, who's just got balls of steel and nothing's going to stop me from doing whatever I want. Is that how it was?
That's also? Exactly it.
How old are you?
I'm 27 now, 27.
So I'm old enough to be a fucking dad.
Yeah, I started young. I think I'm a bit mature.
Yeah, just a little.
But that's exactly right what you're saying. Because I was in martial arts, so mum and dad put me in martial arts when I was real young. So I got into black belt and taekwondo when I was real young. Like, that's my little thing I was doing. So I always knew how to, like, fight, but I was never confident enough. You know what I mean? I never thought I could do it. But then when I started hanging around these cunts, like, I'm not the victim anymore, brother. I'm never being a victim again. And that's my mentality. I'm like, I don't give, like, if someone, like, I walk past someone, I'll look at him, what are you looking at, brother? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Boom. And then they say, and then I'll punch him in the mouth right then. I did not give a fuck, bro, because that was the way I got things back. And anyone that disrespected me in high school, or anyone that didn't show me respect in year eight and shit, I'd see him in parties down the track, but I'll flog the fuck out of him. You know what I mean? And fuck the whole party. Just ruin everything. I'm like, fuck, I've got my shit done. I'm out. You know, but that's the whole thing. I wasn't a victim anymore and I never want to be a fucking victim again. So I was known. And I wanted to make a name for myself. That's why I did what I did. I wanted to be known for the one that grafted all the time. I wanted to be known the one that fucking would just throw hands there and there. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't give a fuck. You know?
Yeah.
And I was doing that. I was stealing. I was doing everything, bro, because I was never home, bro. So when I was, like, 15, bro, like, fuck, I put my mum and dad through some shit. But I actually ran away from home, bro, when I was 15 because I was sneaking out every night, going home. They'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? You know what I mean? We just... why are you doing this to us and shit? And all my mind's like, I don't give a fuck about you, bro. I'm going to make friends, you know? I'm going to fit in somewhere. I've got a shit to do. I've got to make a name for myself. You know, I don't
that whole mindset, and let's go back to what's triggered this. The triggering part of this journey has been through trauma. The trauma that you are enduring by feeling
not
no
good
acceptance
enough
within your peers and not good enough,
yeah,
not being able to be a part of a positive environment, and basically left on the shelf to just fucking rot.
Yeah.
You know, people wonder why, you know, these things occur and people's mindsets change and you find, I guess, acceptance in these negative areas because they are negative. We're not here to promote any, positive around any crimes or anything. This is Darcy's story. So, you know, and that's a beautiful thing about the clink. We go to the real raw roots of why somebody was the way they were to where they become an inspiration today. And, you know, there's so many young people, I think, even today with the way that the world is in the bullying that must feel the same, you know, and it's only gotten worse. Mate.
Yeah, I hate it. So one thing that makes my blood boil, bro, is fucking bullies. But, yeah, but as I was saying, brother, so, like, I was never at home. I was, like, always running away from home and shit. So I'm like, I don't need to fucking be here. I come home. They fucking judge me, you know, mum and dad. They just wanted the best for me, bro. But I'm just like, fuck this. I don't want to be here. So, man, I'm packing. So I just fucking grabbed a bag of clothes and went, bro. I started couch surfing when I was 15. 15, I wasn't home for like 2 years. Mum and dad didn't see me for about 2 years. Okay, I was just couch surfing, moved in with mates that I met along the streets and shit like that. Just fucking the scum. But, you know, people who were lost like I was, okay?
Yeah.
So just hanging around them, and I didn't care about mum and dad. You know, I was gone. The one time mum did see me was when she picked me up from the watch house after I'd got in fucking fair bit of shit. So mum picked me up from the watch house, and she picks me up. She gets, I get in the car. She just says, like, your cousin's died. He's died of a heroin overdose. His funeral's tomorrow. It would be good if you could come. And I'm just like, what the fuck? I'm like, oh, fuck. And then went home for that night and then went to my cousin's funeral the next day, fucking teared up, whatever. I was like, I didn't know how to deal with it, bro. You know, but how I dealt with shit in the past was to numb myself. Okay?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm off, mum. I'm like, I'll see you later. I just snuck out, didn't even say goodbye. Went back to the mates and I was like, let's get on. You know what I mean? It's fucking go. I just went, did a bag rack, stole shit. So one of my mates, the best mate at the time when I was around then, when I was fucking running amok, his mum and dad, I was living at his place, crashing at his place. But his mum and dad, his dad was one of the biggest speed cooks in Brisbane, bro. Okay, so, and their house was a trap house, brother. Like, we'd sit there on the couch, us two young 14, 15-year-old boys, and there's junkies coming in the door like clockwork, brother. Knock every 15 minutes, bro. 24-7, bro. Coming in to get gear, bro. This place was fucking hectic.
Okay? What area was this? Was this like
Stafford,
Nala or something?
Stafford.
Where's that, like the
Stafford,
western
Brisbane.
Suburbs of Brisbane?
Nah, Brizzy. Yeah, Stafford. Stafford Heights, Brisbane. So it's like north side of Brizzy. I was Brisbane north side my whole life. And then, and he would be able to get gear off his mum. Like, we'd get point. And then we're talking like, we'd get a container of fucking gear that's just been cooked. So they would divvy it all out and we'd get to lick the container. You know what I mean? Of this, the speed was still fucking warm, bro.
So the tray had just come out of the oven, as they say. Just transed over. The reaction.
Brother, I was peeled. Like, we'd be awake for 3-4 days on a point of gear. 1 point.
Wow.
But that's when I was so young. And then that's where I was living, bro. So we had access to it all the time. You know what I mean? And she'd get boxes, like boxes of pseudoephedrine and shit. So we'd go on box runs. You know what I mean? Go round up local car, like anyone with a fucking driver's license. Bro, go and buy a chemist. I'll give you $100. to go and get a chemist and get me a box of cold and flu bar. You know what I mean? We sort boxes out. I'd do bag racks. So, like, I started stealing and shit heaps. So, I'd walk into a Myers or David Jones brother with an empty footy bag. Empty footy bag. I'd put it under like a fucking thing of clothes and shit near the door. I'd walk around the shops, like Nautica Polos, Tommy Hilfiger, all that shit. And I could take beepers off mad. So, I'm undoing the beepers, bro, in the middle of shots, roll the shirt up, boom, put it in the bag. Bag racks on bag racks. I did fucking all the local shopping centers fucking hated me, bro, okay? So, and then I'll just run straight to their place and I'll give them like, fuck, we're talking $5,000 worth of clothes, bro, for like $100 point of gear. You know, I'll be like, here, boom, take it all, just give us a point. You know what I mean?
Did you find, us, that you become dependent on the drug for you to feel good or to feel sort of, I guess, what's the word for it? Just unstoppable, you know, like that. You couldn't fuck with you whilst you were in that mindset and high.
It was an invincible thing, but it was also, I didn't feel like shit.
Did it give you that sense of confidence of I'm somebody?
It numbed me, bro. So I didn't feel like the person I hated so much. Like, I didn't feel like the fucking overweight kid I was. I didn't feel like I had any problems. I didn't worry about my family. I didn't worry about anything. I was numb and I was high, and that's what I thought was happiness. So that was the OG. I didn't drink, bro. When I was fried and shit, I didn't drink, bro. I was just fucking cooked. I was like, I'm good. I don't drink when I'm fucking fried and sweet, you know? And I'll just rather be cooked. And then So I'll just steal bag racks of shit to get more. And then I'll just do the box runs. I'll steal meat. I'd go into Woolies, bro. I fillet steaks. I'd steal like $1,000 worth of meat. All rack, bro. I'd steal paint. Like, when I used to go, because I was graffiti and shit, I'd steal paint too. I'd go into fucking like super cheap wood old Bunnings, bro. I'd wear tights underneath a pair of trackies. And I'd load up like 5 cans around my ankles, 5 cans around the other ankles, 5 cans around my quads, 5 the other quads. Walk out of Bunnings, all cans around my fuck. I'd wear a jumper, all cans around my stomach, around my back, bro. 2 up the arm. Walk out of fucking Bunnings with like 30 cans of paint, bro.
I don't usually tell too many people, but yeah, I was very deep in the graph scene in Sydney back in the day. I was an original RBS boy, and blokes like Tabin and Bosty and Roski and Potts, like, they used to have a magazine called Hype Magazine, and it showed panels from Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, and mate, we were running, like, you talk about paint. We used to literally do a shop over for all the Tuxans and Krylons and fat caps and all the
fat cap robe.
I'm hearing you, bro. I'm here. And the funny part is, we were 20 years before you.
That's what I mean. You're the cunts I look
We were the OGs,
to,
bro. I can guarantee it was, but it, you know, like it. And once again, we're not here to glorify any of this. This is, you know, this is the truth behind the stories. And the beautiful thing here on the Clink, there is no bullshit. You know, it is a very factual, and, you know, Das, it's very relatable. And I know there's going to be lots of people out there that can relate to your story. So continue, bro.
So, so that's what I mean. I'd steal to get by, and it was good. Everyone knew that I could steal heaps of shit. You know, I used to get shopping lists coming by. Yeah, what do you want, bro? I'll get you shopping list. You know, get me a point of gear, give us whatever. And then, yeah, bro, just kept fucking painting, fighting on weekends, bro, going to party, fight. Used to love fighting, bro, because it was just like, it was, you let it out, and everyone's like, fuck, you smashed him. I'm like, yeah, I fucking did. You know what I mean? Like,
so the energy of everybody getting high, sort of you being this tough guy and all this sort of stuff, which is, I guess, You're accepted. You're now that guy everyone wants to be like.
I wasn't the victim anymore, brother.
No.
I wasn't a victim anymore. I've always said I'm never backing down. I'm never going to be a little bitch again. I'm never going to fucking let anyone mess with me again. Like, I've had enough of that as a kid. I'm never going to be fucking put down again. But, and then got deep into it. You know, I met this bird while I was living in crack houses and shit, bro. I met this bird, got in a little toxic relationship. And when I was with her, like, I'd stop getting fried all the time. Like, I'll just get fried on the weekends and we'll get stoned during the week and just eat. You know what I mean? It was just boring. Like, I just fucking started, like, just eating heaps. And I gained heaps of weight, bro. Like, even though I was fucking smoking ice every fucking weekend and shit. Like, a bit before that, bro, that's when I got introduced to the pipe. So I used to eat the gear. You know what I mean? I used to eat a point and shit. And then I was with one of my mate's older brothers brought out this fucking little sweet puff, and I'm like, oh, what's that? And I'm like, fucking smoking it, try it. Boom, lit up, had a 12, boom, and I was just like, holy fucking shit, this is life, bro. And I was just like, whoa, like, just so you And yet again, oh, it's just a better high. It's another high, you know, and it's just another feeling where I don't have to feel normal again. Like, this is the next step.
Can I just ask you, like, I experienced, obviously, in my days, I used to take a lot of speed when I was younger because growing up and living on the streets, it was something that I, very similar to what you're saying in reference to just that awareness, alert, you know, feeling good. Yeah. I didn't get down and depressed. But one thing I never did was go to the ice or the pipe. And I've always wondered, you know, not out of curiosity, I'm not fucking curious about it at all. But for those out there that don't understand, and I like to have our listeners, I guess, know, because some people may want to try and hear this and go, no, I don't want to try. Yeah. What was that big difference? You know, like, you talk to people that were heroin addicts and they talk about this rush and this immediate, you know, euphoric, all your pain's numb, it's gone, and you're just stoned. You know, what was it with the pipe that was higher and greater than just the speed or the amphetamine that you were
the
taking?
The speed was like, the speed rocked you more, to be honest. Like, but I just got introduced to the pipe and there was ice and the speed. Okay, this is getting a bit into it, but you'd smoke, you would have some speed, you eat a bit of speed, or you smoke speed, it won't smoke for long. But see, it like a little rock of ice, bro. That thing lasts in the pipe for long. You pass that around with fucking 20 cunts for a night. You know, and it's something to do as well, I think. Like, it's just because instead of just eating a bit of speed and you'll sit around fried and just talk and go paint and shit and don't do anything, you're always going, like, you're always, always, it's something, it's like something to do. Like, it's just, you're always smoking it. It's like, it's a social thing. Like, it's just like something you do instead of just eating a bit of gear and then you cooked and stuff like that, sitting around with everyone, just pass the pipe around. You know, it was a bit more of a social aspect.
What about your mental health, Darce? What about your mental health?
Well, I was getting a bit paranoid and shit like that, but not that paranoid and shit didn't happen till a bit later. Like, because I started real young, I didn't really get all paranoid and shit. I got a bit paranoid. I fucking thought there were cops here and there and shit. That was like standard, but I never was really, bro, depressed because I was always high.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, like, I didn't really come down, bro. So it's different. Like, I could always get gear. I was always actually, I lived in a crack house, bro. I lived in. Yeah. One of the houses that had probably the most speed in fucking Brisbane, bro, you know? So it was just always an on thing. I was never off and shit like that. So I never really come down. The only time I really come down was when I was saying I got in this relationship with this chick and would be just stoned during the week, gained all this weight. This happened, I've seen probably about 5-6 months. You know what I mean? I started gaining all this weight and I started getting real fat again. I got fat again, bro. And then I look at myself and then that's when my mental health started to fucking go to shit. Cause I'm like, I'm back to where I was. I'm fucking hate myself again. So, and I lost, like, I wasn't the person that was known by everyone anymore. I sort of lost I wasn't going out every night painting. I wasn't like fucking graphing anymore. When my tag wasn't up as much, I wasn't going to real house parties and fight anymore. That's where I thrived with all these guys getting respect. I wasn't getting that anymore. So I'm like, see you later to this chick. I'm like, nah, we're done. You know, I've got to start doing me and doing me. Like, I wasn't be like, oh no, I'm going to go better myself. I'm going to go turn my life around. To me, I'm like, I'm going to go back to fucking grafting every night. I'm going to start stealing again. I'm going to go back and start being one of the brothers' boys again. I wanted to get that respect back. And I'm like, I need that back. So I started running amok again, rocking up at parties again. Everyone's like, fuck, where are you been? You know what I mean? Start punching on again, started fucking graffitiing everywhere again, started getting my name out there. And then this one night, I was drunk as fuck down at the fucking Gilhooly's pub in Chermside, Gilly's old fucking den, drinking rums and shit with a few mates. And then I get a message from one of my mates saying, oh, bro, your ex is out in the club's fucking hooking up with all blah, blah, and blah, blah. Mates that met, people that were meant to be my brothers, okay? And I've stole for these cunts. I've fought for these cunts. I've done fucking, like, I'd do anything for my mates, bro. Because this, my clique, my friendship were like my brotherhood. Like, I'll do anything for these boys, you know? And then I get a message and I'm not well, like, I don't like who I am. I hate how I look. I'm fucking partying again. I hate myself. And then I get this message and I'm fucking raging. I start fucking crying. You know what I mean? I think everything's fucked. And I'm just like, that's the bubbling point where I was like, nah, fuck this. You know what I mean? And then my mum and dad's as close to there. And I haven't seen my mum and dad in like fucking 2 years, bro. You know what I mean? So
how was it for them, Dust? But when they seen, because I mean, your whole appearance after that amount of drugs, sleepless nights, days, weeks, like you would have just looked not like their son.
They were destroyed, bro. But yeah, I'll get to that. But I put them through fucking hell. But I make up for that. But so yeah, I was on my way home from this night, drunk as fuck on the rums, had a bottle of rum, walking home, just crying, fucking hate everyone, like fuck everyone. So now I don't trust anyone. I've got no one by my side. All the people I thought were meant to be my brothers for all these years I've done all this shit for just fucking dog me, you know what I mean? Like, she's going trying to fucking get back at me. I'm like, fuck this. You know, I went home going to mum and dad's, and mum and dad live across the road from this school, which I always used to fucking hang out at and shit. And I just sat over in the school for a bit drinking rum before, because I was just going to go back home to mum and dad and be like, well, I'm fucking, this is it. I'm fucked. You know, I'm real sorry. And I couldn't do it, bro. I was too ashamed. I was too embarrassed. Like, I was drunk as fuck. I don't really remember much, but I just remember that I didn't want to go back and just face the music, bro. So I jumped on top of one of the fucking school roofs. It's about three stories up. There's like things you can climb up on. I used to climb up on there when I was a bit younger. So I went up there, drank all this rum, bro, and I'm like, fuck this, I'm done. Then I jumped off the roof, attempted to take my own life when I was 18. So jumped off there. Then all I remember was waking up on the ground. My foot was broken. It was fucked. And then I just come to. I was just all cuts and bruises. I was just half unconscious still. And then I just stumbled home. It was pretty rough, yeah. But stumbled home just across the road and just locked up, just crying on the front step. Mum and dad come down, like, what's going on? I just told them everything. And then it's like, what the fuck?
I know this is probably not, you know, the best thing at that time, but thank God. Thank God you got up and were, even in the pain and the broken, like, and I'm going to say this. Can you imagine if your mum and dad today had to walk across that road and identify their son, like literally at their front door, how they would then forever walk out that door and know that that's their son who passed the cert, you know, like that's...
Well, I would have broken my family. I would have fucked everything, yeah. You know, from being selfish, you know, just not being able to, yeah. But so, yeah, went home, seen them, told them everything, got them all off the chest. We all sat down. The next day, once I woke up, my foot's fucked. I'm sitting up there. I'm crying in the morning. Look like a fucking mess. And then my old man's working away in New Zealand. He was home at the time, but he works away in New Zealand in Christchurch. So he's doing the earthquake rebuild over there. Yep. And he was working away over there. And he's just like, you need to come over here and work with me, get away. And I'm just like, yep, done. I'm fucking done with this. You know what I mean? I'll come with you. I'll work with you over there. No worries. So did that 7 months. I was over there working with him. I got clean. I was sober. I was happy. I was training every day.
Was this after the earthquake?
Yeah, so he had a contractor. He's a builder, so he's over there working because he one of our mates lives over there anyway. So I went over there and I was helping him with that. I was just painting and stuff like that, but I like painting houses and shit still over there. So I was over there, was good training shit, but I was still graffitiing while I was over there, bro. I still had a little itch, so I'd still go over there. I was good. I wasn't doing any drugs, wasn't drinking. I was training. Bro, over in New Zealand, I lost about 35 kilos. I was like 120. Yeah, and I got down to about, I think 89 or something, 85. I was got down a lot. I dropped about 35 kilos in New Zealand because I was eating right. I didn't know what I was doing in the fucking gym. I'll just go there, do cardio morning and night, and then fucking work all the day and eat.
But obviously too, you're working every day. You're exercising. You're moving your body. You're constantly lifting shit, carrying shit.
But then I always have that little itch to keep painting, bro, because I never wanted to lose all the hard work I put, because I'm like, it's not drugs. Like, I want to go, my goal was to get fucking fit, look mad, go back, see everyone paint mad, fucking start painting, and I'll be being healthy doing it. You know, I don't even know what I was thinking. So lost all this weight, bro, but then I got an itch that I was fucking missing out, you know what I mean? Like, I was just like, I want to come back and show everyone how good I am and show everyone. Same thing, I wanted validation, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So I could see people like that I knew were going out clubbing, because it's like, I was 18. I never went clubbing and shit. I was smoking drugs and fucking crack houses. You know what I mean? I didn't want to go clubbing.
Yeah.
So I was like seeing all these people going out clubbing on Insta. And, you know, I was like, oh, bro, like, oh, and I'm going back home, Dad. I'm fucking packing my bag. I'm going in a week. I'm done here. Thanks for everything. You know, I'm going to go back home. I'm going to fucking show everybody how good I'm doing. You know, I'm going to go back and work. I'm going to go be good. You know, I'm fucking thanks for everything. And he's like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, I'm fucking going, brother. Okay, I'm going. And then
can I just ask you, Das, too? Like, you know, that confidence of you losing that weight, starting to feel good and wanting to go back and, I guess, have the acceptance of everybody seeing you and go, oh, fuck, Das, you look so good, mate. Oh, what's that?
Yeah.
That's awesome. But how do you then also, too, I mean, you've now been using methamphetamines and ice for many years now.
Yeah.
How was that transition? Because New Zealand obviously is full of pee, which is the same.
Yeah, as ice. Yeah. Well, I didn't know anyone.
The south might have been Okay, so that was a good thing for you. You didn't go chasing or anything like that while you were there. How were you then thinking you were going to still come back and not do that when you got home, when you knew that it was just all at your doorstep?
Yeah, I just thought I was just wanting to get home and show everyone how good I look, bro. I didn't know I'd get back into the scene, which happened, which I'll get to. But so I come back, you know what I mean? I fly back, I get a job, I start rendering. I'm a renderer's labourer. You know, I was working probably a couple of months, you know what I mean? And then I'm like, fuck it, you know what I mean? I've been so good for ages. I'm going to go meet up with the boys. I'm going to go out drinking. I'm going to go clubbing for the first time. I'm going to go out, have a couple of drinks, let my hair down. You know what I mean? I've been good for fucking ages. You know what? I'm going to reward myself with what I've always rewarded myself with. So started going out. We'll just go out clubbing, have fucking mad time. You know what I mean? Go out first on second weekend, go out. And then it's a regular occurrence, bro. You know, every weekend I want to go out. You know, because I'm starting to go out and meet all new people. You know, not fucking meeting junkies and crackheads and crackheads. I'm meeting people, good-looking people, you know, people that are having fun. And, you know, I'm going out and then slowly but surely I meet, start hanging around some people and then a bag of rack comes out. You know what I mean? A little bag of coke comes out and I'm just like, in my head, I justify it. I'm just like, well, it's not ice. It's not
that.
You hadn't been
down this road before with the whole... The coke, it was all a totally different scene and totally different drug. And for the,
totally
you know, you've got to too look at it this way, I guess. Coke scene is the clean drug, I suppose. You know, it's the social drug. It's okay, you know. We can all have a line together and it's not going to hurt anyone. You're not going to go and fucking do stupid things, feel terrible, fuck things up.
Yeah. That's what I thought. And then so slowly but surely I'm going out clubbing, having a few lines. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, this is mad, you know what I mean? Meeting everyone, meeting some birds, meet all these people. And slowly but surely everyone started to know who I was when I went out. I made mates while I was out clubbing. Always go to the same club, you know what I mean? Jeep, everyone knows it, yeah. But then I started making a scene, making a name for myself. So same thing, I've come back, but now I'm making a name for myself out in the clubbing scene, you know what I mean? So people know me at this place. Everyone's like, hey, bro, you guys met you last weekend. Then you start to meet other people, you know, and then you fucking say everyone's getting on the bags. Everyone's dropping pingers and shit out clubbing and shit, you know. I had mates that had pingers, so people would come up and ask me, oh, can you get any, you know what I mean? And I'm like, yeah, I'll grab them off my mate. I went and grabbed them, grabbed cash, boom. And the amount of money that went through my hand while I was selling pills, not for me, for my mate, you know what I mean?
You're just the middleman.
I was the middleman. Mm. And he'll be like, oh, here's a couple of freebies and shit. And I'm just like, why do I need this cunt? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, well, I can get my own pills, you know? And I always seen the boys, like all these people in the booths and all the people that met, like, were like important, you know what I mean? That always had fucking all the bottles and the birds and all these, like, and then I'm like, I want that. You know what I mean? Yeah. And my personality, when I want something, when I put my mind to something, I'll fucking do it, bro. Okay? I've always done it. When I was fucking doing drugs, when I was ice, when I was younger, I was the best. When I wanted to steal shit, I'd steal the most shit. When I wanted to paint, I'd paint the most shit. You know what I mean? But now I want to be these people, you know what I mean? So then I started off this club and shit, then I started off getting little 100 packs of pills and shit, you know what I mean? I'll go in there, everyone knew me, everyone knew, yeah, I've got time, I'm starting now, and everyone would come to me. You know, I was the guy. And this is attention from all these fucking good-looking people, from all these people, like they're not fucking crackheads and junkies, these are actual fucking real people, you know what I mean? Mm. And I'm getting all this attention and I'm the man, you know what I mean? And then I'm the one just shouting drinks. I've got, fuck, bro, I'll go out clubbing, man. I'll just sell all my pills. I'll sell 100 pack of pills in like an hour. I've got like $2,000-$3,000 in cash just sitting on, I didn't even fit in my pockets. I dacked it. I just put it in my undies, bro. I had fucking 50s, 20s, 5s in my undies. I just put it in my undies. I walk around. Anyone want a drink? I'll just grab in my pants. I'm like, yeah, it's on me. You know what I mean? I'll just do shots. I'll get bottles for everyone. I'm like, yeah, sweet. But as long as I broke even.
I just had a vision of someone getting a note off you, rolling it up, sticking it up their nose for a line.
Yeah. I always had a note. Don't worry about it. So, but I was selling pills, but I always had my own little bag of rack on the side. You know what I mean? I never really got into pills much. It was more like coke. I was like, loved having a line. Yeah. So then I'd always be racking up. I'd sell the pills and rack up, and that sort of pays for my bag of rack, and that sort of pays for my night out. If I make even, I'm sweet. You know what I mean? I don't care about making money. It's never been about making money. I was never in it. I wanted a free night out. I wanted a bag of rack and I wanted to fucking be known and be fucking someone. So at this point, then I'm the one with the bags and then I was always getting my bag of rack, selling pills everywhere, making pills. I'm like, fuck this, man. I'm going to start buying coke. You know what I mean? And then I started just going out and I had my bag of pills on one side dacked and then I'd have my bag of gram of rack on the other. I'd have a big clippy bag full of grams done up. I'd have about grams of rack, and then I'll be like, "What do you want? I've got everything. I've got a whole shop here, but okay." But I was known there, so I'll go to the nightclub.
The one-stop shop.
Yeah, I was like a quickie mart, bro. Okay, so but I'll go to the nightclub. I'll jump straight in the front of the line. I knew the door staff. I knew the security guards. I knew everyone. So I was someone, bro. Yeah. I'm not giving up this. Yep. So then slowly but surely, bro, didn't go to work. I'm like, mate, I'm not feeling it. Like, fucking, I've got another offer. I haven't got another offer, bro. Are you fucking serious? But then I'm just selling pills, making heaps of money. Like, 9 times out of 10, I'll go home and I'll fucking just wake up. And there's just cash all over the floor. I've got a cheeseburger in the bed. Fucking lines of rack all over my bench. I'm like, what the fuck happened last night? You know what I mean? But, like, I was, and then, like, kick-ons, right? Like, going to kick-ons after club, and that's where I thrived, bro. I had the best time. Like, I'd go there because everyone, I'd be the one with the drugs. You know, I was always invited to kick-ons. Not because I'm a fucking great person, okay? But it's just because I had all the
shit. Just because you were the go-to guy. You had all the gear.
I didn't care. Like, that wasn't about being used like that. I was invited to fucking cool fucking big penthouses with all these fucking people, all these chicks and shit. I've got all these drugs and I'm having a fucking cook time with everyone, talking shit, scatter chat, was mumbling on, watching the sunrise. Everyone cooked ours and I'm still racking up and go home and everyone goes home. Then eventually, like, it got to a point where, like, my party would start on a Friday night. I'll go out selling Friday, and then I'll go Friday, Saturday night, I'll go out. And then I didn't have work Monday, so Sunday sessions at, like, Boundary and shit. So I'll go to Sunday sessions too, you know what I mean? So I'm going Friday, Saturday, Sunday night, I'm out partying, you know? And
so all of a sudden, you're that bloke that if anybody needs anything, you're available. You're in the mix of everywhere.
Yeah.
And, you're feeling good because everybody's sort of wanting to pay attention to you, you're getting paid for it.
Yeah,
you're having a good time. It's all going good for you.
Yeah, bro, it was mad. But like I was, and then I ended up like that was it. Like I was just accepted. I was the guy. I was the man. Always had the best shit too. Like when I used to get me and my mate used to get a keg, like a brick, you know, and he would just snap a corner off and like, there's your ounce, bro, pure pearl. Like I was just like, yeah, oh fuck, man, you know what I mean, like. And I'd just, like, sweat. I'd get, like, jitters. I'd, like, oh, get shivers. I'd, like, this is fucking unreal. And everyone knew that I had the best gear too. So that was another little thing that I could put on my fucking resume. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, yeah, Matt, everyone knew I had the best home. Get mad pills, you know what I mean? He's fucking does it cheap too. He's fucking mad.
You're like the ultimate pre-start. Tick, 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 tick.
But I was never about it for the money. So I'd be selling pure and shit. Like, I didn't care. Like, I was just like, as long as people knew I had the good gear, I was never about making money for me, bro. You know, as long as I have bags to smack, like enough for myself, sweet. I break even, sweet, and I make friends. And I'm invited places and I've got places to be. I'm happy, okay? But then during the week, I've got nothing to do. So then I'm feeling like shit during the week. I'm not vibing it, you know what I mean? Like I'm just still training, like Monday. I'm training at this point. Like I'm still coming back. I still train Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday afternoon, go in the bag all weekend, fuck everything up. And then slowly but surely, bro, I'm sitting at home doing nothing. Okay, so the boys are coming Friday night, bro. We're having Lions Saturday night for Lions. And slowly but surely, I stopped going out, bro. Because, like, I was like, smacking bag at home. I was comfortable there. I'll get a bit anxious, bro. So the rack really made me anxious. So I'd start dropping volumes. So I started volumes and Xanax. So I was doing that. And then, like, I've got nothing to do during the week. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to have a few Lions on a Thursday night. You know, Thursday night, have a few lines by myself. You know, fuck it, Wednesday night. You know what I mean? Had a few lines on Wednesday night. You know, and before you know it, I'm fucking Monday to Monday on the bag. You know, not just that night, like wake up, have a slug. You know, I'll go for 2-3 days at a time, fall asleep. You know, the boys will come over Friday night. This is all at my mum's house, bro, as well. I'm doing this in my room at my fucking mum's house, bro. I'm selling drugs out of my parents' house, bro.
Wow.
Yeah. Bro, and they're like just slowly started seeing me going, shit, like, you're not working, what's going on? And then I'm in that same spot again where I'm like, they're fucking always on me, you know, I'm sweet. Bro, if you're going to convince yourself you're sweet or convince other people around you that you're sweet, you're far from it, okay? Like, if you're sweet and you're doing good, bro, you're feeling good, people don't ask you if you're okay. You know what I mean? And when everyone asks me, my mates, my close mates too, my brothers, everyone was starting to ask me, bro, you're all right, because I'd start getting real bad bags unwise. I'd stop going to gym. I started getting this real anxious and shit. They'd come over on a Friday night. I'd have a few lines, and then I'd start wigging out. I wasn't comfortable. I'd start getting real anxious, and then I'd be like, oh, guys, I'm going to bed. You guys have got to go. I'm sorry. And they're like, this is weird. And then that just started going, and I'm there up all night snorting lines by myself. That's where I was comfortable. Then I was just I was just in my own zone, just snorting lines by myself. Like I'd still sell rack. I'd get people to meet me at my mum's front fence, bro, and I'd leave it in the letterbox. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know, but the amount of times, bro, people drop me tick off, like they drop me money off and put in my letterbox. Like I'm talking like 2-3 grand in my letterbox. You know what I mean? And I wake up the next morning, they're like, oh, money's in the letterbox. I'm like, yeah, sweet, go out, check it. Mum's done the gardening, checked the mailbox, and she's pocketed my 3 grand. I'm like, fuck. You know what I mean? But I'll go to mum. Like,
you're not going to go, mum, where's my money?
That's what I said. I'm like, mum, did you go to the letterbox this morning? And she's like, nah. And I'm like, fuck. You know what I mean? Like, I can't say shit. But and then I was just like, fuck. You know what I mean? So then I'm just like, I can't be at home anymore. You know, so
did that start fucking with your head, but knowing that there was, you knew that the money had dropped. That did you know that your mum had actually gone and taken?
Oh,
or was
she
it just,
took it. What I meant to do is my mum, bro. So I'm so bruns out of
that's
my head.
What I mean. Like you
I'm
not sort of stuck between a rock and a hard.
I'm not going to staunch my mum. Like it's just no. She's plugging. I'm like whatever. Like I had more money. I was flogging it. He's off.
Go, mumsy.
Yeah, good.
Go, mumsy.
That pays for the rent. But like I was flogging heaps off at the time, so I didn't really give a fuck. I had money coming out of my ass, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and then, so then I'm like, I need to get out of here, you know what I mean? So I'm like, I need to get out of home, you know? So my bright idea was to move out. So I moved in with a mate. We've got a penthouse in Spring Hill in the city in Brisbane. So we had a penthouse. So I've gone up a level. So I've got the penthouse. I've got the fucking drugs coming out of my ass. I've got money. I'm like, sweet. But this penthouse was just a bender central, bro. So I was just on it all the time, bro, snorting rack all the time, going through heaps, bro, fucking just same thing, bro. I was not smart. I did not use a burner phone. I didn't use nothing. I was texting off my own fucking phone, okay? I'd use Snapchat accounts and shit. I was like, oh, it's sweet. If I send a message over Snapchat, it won't be able, like, dumb cunt. But anyway, so selling drugs in this apartment, benders kept going on. It was get fucking same thing. I'll just get frightened. I haven't got a job and shit. So I'll just like snort heaps of rack and then I'll go to the casino late at night on a Wednesday night or something, you know, to fill in time to sit in the casino. And then over time, bro, I just kept getting anxious and like my face was fucked from the rack, bro. Like I'll blow my nose in the morning. I'll blow like balls of blood out of my face, bro. Like blow on my nose, and it'll just blow a ball of blood. I'm like, what the fuck? And then I'll put that in the toilet. I'll go snap down another line. And I'm like, because my nose is bleeding, the drugs are going to go in my system faster, so I'm going to get high quicker. That's what I thought. I didn't.
Is that how you were thinking about it?
That's how I thought. I didn't think that, my face is fucked.
Straight into your bloodstream sort of thing. Not that your nose is caving in.
Well, I've got no septum, bro. My septum's fucking fucked. But I've always got a nose drip to this day, bro. But then slowly but surely, party can't. And there was always a mate of mine that come around. He was on the pipes, bro. He always had pipes. I'm like, oh, I just go in the bathroom. I'm like, yeah, sweet. I didn't give a fuck, bro. I'm like, yeah, I used to do it. I'm not judging you, bro. Go hard. Go in the bathroom and fucking pipe on, bro. You know what I mean? I'll come light it for you if you want. You know? Oh, sweet. Like, and then I'm like, fuck it. There came a point where I'm just like, fuck. No, I was getting too anxious off the rack, bro. And I'm like, fuck, I'll just have a twirl. I'll have one. I'll see how it goes, you know? And then before you know it, I'm in the bathroom with him fucking back on the pipe, bro. And I'm like, but the thing is, I wasn't anxious anymore. I'm like, oh, this is mad. I was chatting away. I was like, fucking, and that feeling, that euphoric feeling came back.
Did you feel that you'd gotten back to where you probably should have been or were missing?
Yeah, well, I was back to being just like, it just lit my day up. I wasn't anxious. The rack was fucking my face up. I was getting anxious, paranoid on the rack, eating fucking bottles. Bro, my top drawer in my room, I had 100 bottles of Valium, 100 full bottles of Valium, so I'd never run out. If I found something I needed, bro, I'd buy it in bulk. Like, I'm like, fuck it, I never want to run out of Valiums again because these are my life support. If I don't have this, the amount of times, bro, I was snorting rack back in the day, the emergency ward at Prince Charles Hospital knew my name because the amount of times I thought I was going to overdose and I drove myself to the hospital listening to my heart because I've Googled the symptoms of what happens when your heart rate's going real fast when you're doing cocaine. The first thing that comes up is you're going to die. Okay. So, and then I'm like, holy shit. So the worst thing to do as a drug addict is do not Google symptoms. Okay. Because you think you're going to fucking die. So the amount of times I'll drive myself to the fucking hospital, go in the emergency, bro, I'm still snorting lines in the car before I go in there. Okay. Go in there and I'm like, I'm about to overdose. My heart's going crazy. They'll put me on a drip in there. They'll sit me down. They're like, you're just having a panic attack. You're fine. You're having a panic attack. I'd sit there for a couple of hours and I'd leave and go home. do the same shit, okay? So that was the cycle I was in. I was getting over it because I was always anxious. I didn't want to be married to my mates. So I distanced myself from my closer mates that I was that always wanted good for me.
Do you think, Darcy, you were starting to implode, basically shut down without you really knowing that your world that you thought was the great world is not as great as you thought?
Because then I just wanted to be alone doing drugs. By the end of it, I just wanted to be in my room.
Which is very dangerous for an addict.
I know.
That's it for this episode with Darcy Cogdale. In next week's The Clink, we'll hear Darcy's real story of redemption.
For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable.
That's right.
For the record, you ain't trying to grow, then it's done for you.
That's right.
For the record, lab on me going all the way.
All the way.
For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste.
Stop calling.
For the record, 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 for the record.